So great to be with you guys today. We're going to start a new kind of series of mini series. Okay, so I'm going to explain this to you. I'm still Mike. I hope you're okay with me saying this. I'm still working on this series title, right? Yeah. But what we're going to do is we're going to take different books that are kind of famous and have popular and favorite stories in them or teachings. And we're just going to take that book and make it a series for a while. Now, I promise it's not going to be like a series for a while like we did on Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's about 3 years long. But on Luke 15, we're going to go at it four times. Just Luke 15. Then when we're done with Luke 15, we're going to hit to another chapter, like maybe Romans 8. These are chapters where we all kind of have heard them before. We've heard the stories before. We've heard the teachings before. But we're going to kind of just settle down on it for a minute and put all the teachings that we've done before and let them kind of be a foundation for us. But also maybe go a little bit deeper or a little higher, however you want to think about it. So in Luke 15, the way I'm dividing it up, and you know, because I'm the boss, you know, next week maybe Jeremy can be the boss, and he'll tell it how he wants to, but there's four stories and an intro. That's what I'm calling it. And the four stories are, the intro is about the audience. Who's he speaking this to? Because Luke 15 is all one sit-down kind of thing with the same group of people. And so there's the audience, and then there's the story of the lost sheep and coin. Now, you could have made that a whole, you could have broke that into two stories, but since, again, I'm in charge here, I'm making that all one story, okay? And then there's the story of the lost boy, and then there's the story of the father, and then there's the story of the brother. And so today, we're going to talk about just this first part, kind of the audience. Well, no, we're not. We're actually going to talk about the audience and the lost sheep and the lost coin. So first of all, though, principle from all of our Bible reading, I think, and I would really want us to emphasize it during these series of mini-series. Oh, wow. Is that a word? And so here's what I want us to do is really this. See yourself in the story. See yourself in the story. And so every part we go at, whether we're in, maybe we'll do Psalm 23 later. Maybe we'll do, like I said, Romans 8 later. Maybe we'll do some other 1 Corinthians 13 later, maybe. But what we're going to do in each one, see yourself in the story. Like you were one sitting there listening. And not only that you were sitting there listening to Jesus, but that as he told stories, you would hear more of it. This is, I really honed in on that when I read this book called The Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen. Highly recommend this book. One of the highest of highly recommended books that I would highly recommend. But in it, he did something that I'd not done that much before, maybe just a surface view of it, but really wrote and let me think quite a bit on what if I was the lost boy, the prodigal son, the prodigal son. What if I was him? But maybe what if I was the older brother? Okay, what about the older? And I've thought about that before, because one of the best sermons I heard before I was 18 years old, because the best preacher I'd ever heard up to the time I was 18-year-old was my dad. And he had a sermon on the older brother. It was good. When I got 18, I'll tell you stories about that later. But then he also said, what if you were to see this and you put yourself in the place of God or the dad? So looking at that helped me think about just see yourself in the story. And I want you to see yourself in the story today. Each character in the story, there's several characters in the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And And then there's also the audience itself, the first audience. And then there's the disciples who are sitting there too. You always want to think about, how did this hit the disciples? How did they take this? What did they learn from it? So see yourself in the story. So we're going to jump into Luke 15. If you got a Bible, that's good. I don't trust Brian and Mary Beth sitting down there with their phones, because Sherry, I would like for you to look over their shoulder every once in a while and make sure that they're not playing games, you know, because I know both of them. Let's pray. God, we have been so transformed by your word, and we've heard these stories about the prodigal son for most of our lives as Christians. And so we thank you for being the Father who loves us. Help us today to hear your word and especially your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, Luke 15, 1 and 2. And this, you need to think about this every time you read anything in Luke 15, is what's going on here? What's happening, and who is Jesus speaking to? And so is he speaking just to his disciples? Is he speaking to the people in the synagogue? What's his setting? What's his setting? And so as we read it, here it is. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Man, I wish I could have heard how that word sinners just came out of his mouth. These are sinners. I mean, this bad. There's bad people, and then there's really bad people like that. But we're sitting in the, he's eating, he's at a meal, and evidently there's a table here, you see, and then there's some other people watching, and those other people watching are Pharisees and teachers of the law, and they're saying, look how he's eating in there. He's eating in there. And look who's in there with him. Tax collectors and sinners. I can't imagine, you know, I don't like taxes. How many of y'all like taxes? Well, I like what the government does with some of the taxes. You know, I like roads. Yeah. I like roads. Roads are good. I don't want to have to go build all the roads I drive on. Think about that. What if you had to build the roads? I like some things about, but overall, personally, taxes are annoying. And first of all, they're hard for me to do because, you know, I'm not that, you know, just, and I'm a football coach. And the other part, and the other thing is, you know, it always hits me at the end. You know, I did have a job for most of my life where they took taxes out, which I did not appreciate that too, but I kind of got numb to it. The way it is here at CCC, it just, you know, I could pay something through the year, but I don't. So at the end, boom, clobber. Gotcha. Tax collectors, they're always bad people. But in this era, they were especially bad because they were seen as traitors. Rome is taking our money. We're not even being taxed by our own people, we're being taxed by this foreign people. And some of the tax collectors were Jewish people who had become traitors. They were seen as traitors. They were the worst of the worst. You couldn't call somebody a worse name than calling them a tax collector. And then just to throw in, and then there were sinners. And then the other group, there was the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And they were the ones doing the talking. And the Pharisees were the most religious, self-righteous, and yet they were self-righteous for a purpose because they were really pretty good at keeping the law. But none of them could keep the whole law, or else, you know, Jesus wouldn't have had to show up. So they were sinners also. This is what gets me. They were sinners also. And the teachers of the law, well, you know, teachers, you know, there's this saying, practice what you preach. Why is that a saying? Because, you know, preachers don't practice what they preach. So, you know, that's the problem. You know, a lot of times you know something, but you're not ever putting it into practice, except for to sit back and be judgmental about it. So these were also the most hypocritical and religious in the way that we don't like religion, where it's judgmental people. So that's the people that are involved in this so far. And here's what I want you to think about this. Among that group, tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, teachers of the law, if you had to raise your hand and identify with one of those four, we're not going to do that. Sometimes I do have you raise your hand, but we're not going to do that today. Who do you identify with that in that group? Are you a Pharisee? Are you a sinner? I mean, we're all, we're all sinners, but you know, there's sinners and then there's sinners. Are you a tax collector? You know, where do you fit today? Let's move on. Okay, then there comes the shepherd. And here's the line he says, Jesus turns and talks to them. And the first thing he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. So he automatically puts the listeners, and right now he's over here talking to the Pharisees, and that's his primary audience. He was eating with these people. These Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting over here criticizing. So he kind of turns his gaze and boom, now he's talking to them. Suppose you had 100 sheep. So already he's put, as you're listening to the story about the sheep, he's put you in the position of the shepherd. You got 100 sheep. You've got 100 sheep. And so it's important to think that I, as a decision maker and follower of Jesus and a son of God or daughter of God, from here on, God's put me in the place of being a shepherd. You should think about yourself as a shepherd of God's sheep. Think about that. Look in the mirror. Imagine, and you're talking to yourself, God, help me be a good shepherd today. Everybody needs to think, I'm a shepherd. Leanne's a shepherd. She's got a group of sheep. All of us do. Suppose you're a shepherd. Think about it. You've got some responsibilities to some people that you are the leader. You're a leader. Somebody, you're a leader. Bradley, you're a leader. We all got people who we're responsible for. So he says, suppose you're a shepherd. And then he begins to tell the story about the lost sheep. And he says, suppose you have 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Lost sheep need help. I want you to think about this for a second. How did that sheep get lost? I wonder if they're all in the sheep pen and there's a couple of sheep that I didn't like dinner tonight. I didn't either. You know, I saw some green grass out there today. Our shepherd, he didn't even take us over that green grass. I want to go back to that green grass. Let's make a break. You know, it's going to be a prison break. These two sheep, they're going to take off. What is it? What is a lost sheep like? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Lost sheep look different. Now, as I look at a big pen of sheep, I might not be able to really tell the difference, but a shepherd can. And remember, he asked you to suppose you're a shepherd. So he's looking at the sheep and he sees there's all that. Lost sheep look different. They're all kinds. In the audience he's talking to, there was tax collectors. That's what lost sheep look like. And there was Pharisees. And that's what lost sheep look like. Lost sheep look different. Look around the room. Who looks like a lost sheep in here? We got anybody looking like a lost sheep in here? We got lost sheep. I was watching the video about the moms. So sweet. Mother's Day is not all that sweet for some people. Because some mothers were lost. There's neglectful moms. There's abusive moms. It's hard to find a card at Walmart for an abusive mom. Thanks, Mom, for beating the crap out of me every day. Loved it. There's lost moms. There's absent moms. And here on Mother's Day, we have a responsibility, this is sort of a side note, forgive and pray for lost moms. There's lost moms today. Matter of fact, I want to take just a second, just pray for lost moms. God, you're so good to us. And we know in your world, as we celebrate mothers today, some mothers don't feel like celebrating. They haven't not done a good job. And yet you love them. And you sent Jesus to die for them. And I pray that as we consider the lost sheep, we would be good shepherds. In Jesus' name, amen. Lost sheep need help. Lost sheep can't save themselves. That's why they're called lost. You know what you are when you're lost? You're lost. If you could find your way back, you wouldn't be lost. You know, I lose things from time to time, keys and, you know, phone. Those are the things I lose most often, several times a day. You know what? My lost keys can never find their way back on their own. They always need me to go look for them. Even though in this case, I'm the one who lost them. But when you're lost, you're lost. You can't make it back on your own. You can't decide, you know, today I'm going to be saved. Today I'm going to be found. Only because there's one looking for you. Only because there is a Savior and there is a shepherd who's out looking. Wow. Thanks, Danny. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Yeah, it's one of the that was one of the ways the Pharisees themselves were lost. Because they thought they could earn it. Ah, you're still lost, doofus. Still, you give yourself away. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. Then there's this other group, boom, the 99. I want you to think about this a second. I always like to identify with the lost sheep because, you know, somebody's going to save me. But actually, we're the 99. The 99 aren't bad. They're the ones who stayed home. And, you know, as you grew up as a kid, there, as you thought about your parents trying to haul you in, so I'm going to think about, you know, I'm going to say Shannon right now. There were some good kids and then there were some gooder kids. All my kids were good kids and yet some were harder to deal with. They were the lost sheep. And then there was the easy ones to deal with. Well, I don't know if there's ever that. But if we're followers of Jesus listening to this story, we're the 99. That's who we are. We're the 99. And you know what we ought to do? Thank God. I don't want to be lost. Lostness is horrible. It's painful. It's a nightmare for most. So I'm thankful to be in the pen. We're followers of Jesus. We're the 99. And when our lost brother or sister comes home, Man, wouldn't it be cool to, we're the 100. We're all here. We're all here. But all of us know somebody who's not here, who we wish was here. Don't we? Don't we know people who we wish were followers of Jesus? Right now, we're the 99. One day, we'll be the 100. Woo! Then it ends like this. When he finds the lost sheep, he says, "Rejoice with me." Wait a minute. He calls his friends and neighbors. There's another group. There's the Pharisees. There's the tax collectors. There's the teachers of the law. There's the sinners. And then there's the friends and neighbors. They're in this story too. The friends and neighbors. And he calls them and he says, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep." And then he says to these people, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Now, we probably needed to repent at one time. But now that we're back in, we're good to go. We're here. We're in the shit. We're with the flock. But the celebration, here's what I think the celebration starts out. I think the celebration is like this. It's a party of salvation stories. And if Jesus was there, it's a party of salvation stories with good wine. And so, what I mean, party of salvation stories, all the neighbors come, and we've got all the 100 sheep, we're all here together, and it starts out like this. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Because all these other 99, they had gotten lost before, but the Savior went out looking for them. The shepherd went out looking for them, and they came back, and now their story, "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior, the one who went out and got me," which implies I was lost. And so we're going to just go around the room and say, "I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." This is what we do when we come here every Sunday, isn't it? And through the songs and through the teachings and through the prayers, we come and confess. When you're singing that song, "Reckless Love," you're singing a confession. When you're singing the song, "Amazing Grace," you're singing a confession and you're saying, "I, Bob, once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. And that's what we do when we come. We acknowledge that we were lost, but now we're found. And we come together and we pray, if we do have brothers and sisters out there who are lost, that we'll take the role of the shepherd maybe, and we'll go look, and we'll be the one through whom the Spirit of God lights you up like a fire, and you become this person. That you would become this person that says there's no shadow, you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up coming after your friend or your family member who's lost. There's no embarrassment. You're not embarrassed of the Word of God, the love of God. And however the right way in praying for God's wisdom is to show you the way to say, "God, put your courage and passion in me that I would be as passionate for the lost sheep as you are. And that I would sing this song and say, there's no mountain I won't climb up coming after you." When my son Jason was in the depth of his alcoholism, there was nothing I wouldn't do. And so one night, he was calling me from New Mexico. And he was working there in New Mexico at a camp. He was the main chef. And he said, "Dad, I'm just struggling. I'm drinking all the time. When I wake up in the morning, I got to drink. When I take breaks during the day, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've gone into town. I've met with a therapist. I'm thinking about going to AA, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I can make it even through the week. That was in the evening. Dad and I got in the car right then. My dad and I right then. And we drove to Santa Fe, or right outside of Santa Fe. And we got there a little before dark, and we waited as the sun came up, and we were waiting at the kitchen where all the cooking was going to go on for this camp, because I knew Jason would be there. And so we saw him drive up and get out, and we're about as far as I am from the coffee pot. And we see him, and I text him, and I'd say, "Hey, look to your right." And we were standing outside of our car, and he was getting out of his car, and he had a big plastic cup. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he looked over and saw us, and he just threw the cup. And we ran. And we spent the day. Now, man, it didn't happen then. It took a couple of years of pain, him experiencing pain, before he did go to rehab and get the help he needed. Because, you know, lost sheep need help. Sometimes we can be the help, and sometimes we can help them get the help. Whatever it is. But there's people we love who need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need to be loved. And when we celebrate and tell our story, "I once was lost, but now I'm found," the part two of that is there's no shadow I won't light up going after the people I love. And they don't need Bob, they need Jesus. But I can take Jesus with me, and so can everybody in this room. Everybody in this room, you got the Jesus you need to climb the mountain and to kick down the wall. Jesus, he's it. Got a message after we sing one more song. I have a couple of words to say. Let's sing. Said before many times, go ahead and stand up. We're not going to be long. We're going to do the most important thing we do every Sunday right now. Leave. And the reason it's important is because we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Not because we're good, but because God is good. And so we got a message. We got something to share. We got walls to kick down. We've got mountains to climb. We got people to love. Let's go.